This is Annie Stevens Gleason, Minister for Worship and Incorporation at the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'd like to welcome you to our worship podcast.
Greetings and good evening. This is Reverend Gary Lubin serving as deacon with the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to our daily devotion in the early evening for individuals and families, which can be found on page 139 of the Book of Common Prayer. Today's reading from the daily office is from Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. Now let us begin our worship together. O gracious light, pure brightness of the ever-living Father in heaven, O Jesus Christ, holy and blessed, now as we come to the setting of the sun and our eyes behold the vesper light, we sing your praises, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy at all times to be praised by happy voices, O Son of God, O Giver of life, and to be glorified through all the worlds. A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. He left that place and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And crowds again gathered around him, and, as was his custom, he again taught them. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of our Lord. Good evening, once again. You know, the vernal equinox occurred at about 11:06 p.m. last night. So, happy first full day of spring. Now, in the reading from Mark's Gospel, we find Jesus having traveled to somewhere in the region of Judea, beyond the Jordan River, teaching a crowd of people there. Some Pharisees once again spring into action, showing up to put Jesus to the test, to trap him into giving a wrong answer to a question, this time a question about divorce. Divorce is mentioned about 33 times in the Bible. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul address divorce in different ways and in varying contexts. A very complex subject indeed. As always, divorce is one of those tough questions facing us even today, especially today, you know, because it has become so commonplace. According to one source, the United States has the sixth highest divorce rate in the world, with 40 to 50% of married couples filing for divorce. And on a personal level, I know how tough it can be Janice and I were happily married for more than 47 years when she died. But during our life together, she shared with me her life experience with a previous marriage. So I know that divorce and all that goes with it can be very ugly indeed. That is why I really resonate with how Frederick Buechner addresses this topic. And so, I now quote him at length. This quote is from his book, Whistling in the Dark. Buechner writes this about the law of love. The law of love. Jesus said that the one supreme law is that we are to love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls, and our neighbors as ourselves, meaning that all lesser laws are to be judged on the basis of that supreme one. A legalistic religion like the Pharisees is in some ways very appealing. All you have to do in any kind of ethical dilemma is look it up in the book and act accordingly. Jesus, on the other hand, says all you have to do is to love God and your neighbors. This may seem more appealing still until, in dilemma after dilemma, you try to figure out just how to go about doing it. Buechner continues, Jesus doesn't mean loving as primarily a feeling. Instead, he seems to mean that whether or not any feeling is involved, loving God means honoring and obeying and staying in constant touch with God, and loving your neighbor means acting in their best interests no matter what, even if personally you cannot stand them. Nothing illustrates the difficulty of all this better than the situation of two people who, for one reason or another, decide to divorce, but take their faith seriously enough to want to do what is right. Jesus himself comes out strongly against it. What God has joined together, let no one separate, is the way Jesus puts it. And then Buechner points out, presumably his laws are to be judged by the same standards as the next person's. Who knows what has gone amiss in the marriage? Who knows which partner, if either, is more at fault? Who knows what the long-term results either of splitting up or of staying together will be? If there are children, who can say which will be better for them? Those small neighbors we are commanded to love along with the rest of them? Will it be living on with married parents whose constant battling, say, can do terrible things to children? Or will it be going off with one divorced parent or the other and falling victim thereby to all the feelings of rejection, guilt, and loss, which can do equally terrible things to children, if not more so? What would the law of love have you do in a situation so complex, precarious, fateful? How can you best serve in love the best interests of the person you are miserable with, your children, yourself, God? There is no book to look up the answer in. There is only your own heart and whatever by God's grace it has picked up in the way of insight, honesty, courage, humility, and maybe above everything else, compassion. This is the end of the wise words quoted from Frederick Buechner. So I might add to that, though, to that very long quote of Frederick Buechner, seek good counsel and guidance. This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. We will be riding with Jesus into Jerusalem very soon now. As we approach Holy Week, why don't we think about reflecting on Buechner's reflection on the law of love? The law of love is universal, you know. How might it apply not only to divorce, but also to other of life's challenges? Let us dwell on how might our own hearts, minds, and souls be guided by the love, by the grace, and by the mercy of God to honesty, courage, humility, and compassion. Amen. And now a reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. It is not ourselves that we proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For the same God who said, out of darkness let light shine, has caused his light to shine within us, to give the light of revelation, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the collect for Wednesday in the fifth week of Lent. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, renew in us the gifts of your mercy, increase our faith, strengthen our hope, enlighten our understanding, widen our charity, and make us ready to serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us now take some time, pausing our worship together, if you need to do that, to offer up our prayers of intercession, thanksgiving, and praise for the world, for the church, for our national life, for the social and natural orders, for family and personal life, and in particular for those who are suffering and those who have died. Now let us say together the Collect for the Human Family, found on page 815 of the Book of Common Prayer. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love. And work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and all peoples of the earth may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us say together the Collect for Social Order and Social Justice, found on page 823. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the concluding collect. Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way, kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. In this time of repentance and turning around towards God's love, grace, mercy, and justice, let us go into the world in peace, hope, and joy to seek and serve God, being and doing God's grace, mercy, and justice. Do everything in love.